You're listening to a podcast from Hope FM.
Hey, this is Jason Crabb, and welcome to my artist interview right here on Hope FM.
Good morning, Mercy. You call me worthy. It feels like the sun shining on my face. Living's good this side of grace. I feel it working. Goodbye to the hurting. You woke me up, put me on my way. It's a brand new day. Good morning, Mercy.
And that was Good Morning, Mercy, featuring Dylan Scott by the wonderful Jason Crabb. And we're so pleased to have Jason with us here today for the artist interview. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Man, I am absolutely wonderful. I just flew in from California, just got home, picked up the family. You know what? Life is really full. I've been out for 7 days. So it was good to be back home for a little bit.
So, well, I'm sorry to interrupt you because I think you were just picking up your daughter from somewhere and you had to rush into the interview, but it's great you're here.
She's a senior. This is her final year. And so she had to do what they call, they go in and it's kind of like they go in to see what they want to become. So she went into a law firm today. And it was a piece of a grade. So I had to take her downtown Nashville. She went into a law firm, sat with them for a little while, picked her up. And so it's fun. It's busy. I'm going to tell you what, my life is running right now. It's fun.
But that you're smiling away and you're in your office right now, which is on wheels, some sort of, is it a truck? I don't know what you got there, but
it is a GMC truck. This is my office. I cannot tell you how many interviews, how many radio spots. I mean, some of my best work has been in the cab of this truck.
Well, it looks nice and comfy, so that's good. So now you mentioned your life being busy, but there was probably a time when your life was less busy. So it would be great for those people maybe who aren't very familiar with you, if you would share a bit of your life story and go back as far as you like to when you were young, but tell us about how you came to meet Jesus and also how music became part of your life.
Well, I will start with this. I've been very, very fortunate and very blessed to have beautiful people in my life. My family is gorgeous. I love them so very much. It's just the salt of the earth type of family. My parents, we lived in a little town called Beaver Dam, Kentucky, which is very, very small. You have to almost get lost to find Beaver Dam, but it's okay. My grandmother, she was, and grandfather, that lived right down the hill from us were great. Well, my grandfather was an underground coal miner. That's what he did. My grandmother, she was just a homekeeper. And let me tell you, she cooked and she cleaned and she did exactly what you thought that old fashioned grandmothers did. That's exactly what she was. But there was another thing that she did was prayed a lot. And she was a spiritual giant in our family, which I believe caused my father to be interested in becoming a preacher. And so I have been a PK, a pastor's kid, you know, many years in my early years, probably since I was 7 years old, 6, 7 years old, on up to about 15. I was 16. I was a pastor's kid. And so music has always been a part of my life because I grew up in church, but my dad pastored these little churches to where a lot of times you didn't know if the piano player was going to show up or the drummer was going to show up or the guitar player was going to show up. You know, they weren't on salary like the people are today. You know, you just showed up and you give your talents to the Lord and you used them for the Lord. And so whoever didn't show up, that's what I had to fill in. And that's how I learned how to play music. So it's kind of the way the journey went. I do remember when I was 9 years old, that my father was preaching a message and we were living in a different little town called Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I just felt the tug at my heart that I wanted to go pray. And I went to the altar and I said, Jesus, will you come into my heart? And I remember it wasn't 2 weeks after that, we were down at the old creek where we did baptisms. And I got baptized there. I wish I could say everything went very smooth from 9 to where I am today. But it's been just all ups and downs and like a roller coaster ride. But God has been faithful to me for sure.
Wow. That's an outdoor baptism then.
Outdoor. It was cold too. I'm just going to tell you that creek was cold because I mean, I should have waited to pray in the summer, but I think I gave my heart to the Lord during the dead of winter and we just went to the creek. It didn't matter. It did not matter what time of the year it was. We just went on down and got baptized and people got baptized and it was a good thing though. I'll never forget it. I'll promise you that.
I guess you were lucky that you didn't live in Alaska or something.
Right. We would have had to do the polar plunge baptism.
You'd be drilling a hole in the ice to do it. Yeah, that'd be worse. So age nine, you decided for sure that you wanted to follow Jesus.
I did.
And you said since then, it's not always been smooth. It's been ups and downs and highs and lows. So tell me some of the highs.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Some of the highs has been incredible. Jesus has been so good to me. I feel like he's the one that is, well, I just tell people this all the time. Any good thing in my life always comes from him. Any bad thing, usually I brought it on. And that's just kind of the way that I look at life. All the successes, which has been, some of the stages that I've dreamed about singing on, God has fulfilled. I've worked hard. I do about 160 dates a year, and I've done that for 31 years of my life. I've been traveling on the road since I was 17 years old, and it's just been nonstop, I was 16, but it's been nonstop. It's been wonderful. I've played at Carnegie Hall and Red Rocks, and I've played in just all kinds of countries that I've dreamed about, and from the Masada in Israel to Morocco to London to, everywhere. I've played everywhere. And all of that I give to the Lord. But there was a really tough moment in my life when my family, my dad and my mother, which went through a separation, divorce. And then my life at around the age of 15, I got to running with some wrong people, you know, during that time. And we kind of got rough. It got really rough. But God brought me back to him through music. My dad remarried. That's kind of how the music journey really began. Because when he gave his heart, you know, he repented and asked for the Lord to come back in his heart. And things really, it's hard for me to explain it all, except, you know, there was a moment, a real low moment in his life where he became an alcoholic. And that's how the pastoring, I don't know. I wish I could answer all of those things for him, but that's his testimony to give, really. Except I remember that life was just really hit rock bottom, from the church to the bar stool to, man, where's the family? And, I just got rebellious from that point because I was angry, I guess. Then my dad was, you know, he gave his heart back to the Lord. You know, he knelt down in an old muddy car wash floor. That's where he was working at the time. From a pulpit to a muddy car wash floor, that's where he went. And he said, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And that's where that old family song that I grew up, you know, singing with my family, the Crab family, that's where that song came to life, is him returning, resurrendering his life back to the Lord. And God pulled me back to him through music as well. And that's really how my true musical journey began. And that's what led me to where I am today.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear about the pain on the journey, but it's great that he came back to Jesus, and Jesus' arms are always open. It's full of love. So that's great. Yeah. So you mentioned the Crab family, but lots of people won't know the history going back to that. What's the Crab family? Tell us about that.
The Crab family is my siblings and parents. That's how it started out. We were on the road Man, did we travel. When I said I traveled 160 dates a year, when I was with the family, we probably did 200 dates a year. And I'm not exaggerating, maybe even more than that at the beginning. We were gone all the time. I mean, all the time we were running the roads. We were working harder than anybody that I can imagine. When we came off the road, when, you know, we got home, we'd have to grease the bus and oil the bus and change the oil and the generators and all those kinds of things, put out concert flowers, then call all of the 327 radio stations that were, you know, playing the music during that time to see if our song was working, you know, or not. And man, it was a lot of hard work, and it was a lot of fun, though. We had an incredible time. We had a great time. We had songs like, you know, Through the Fire, which is a song that I sing every night. Even though it's not the Crab Family, I still sing that song every night because it's probably the reason I'm doing what I, you know, I have the opportunity to have the stages that I have today was some of the lyric of that song. You know, it was very powerful. And it was a joy to travel with my siblings. Is that chapter over? Yes. It's been over now for, oh goodness, almost 16 years now, 17 years. I've been solo doing what I do now, and which is hard for me to grasp a hold of because I felt like the Crab Family years was like eternity.
Well, it also gave you a really good foundation, though. Clearly, you worked really hard, and you've not stopped with that touring and being on the road sort of thing, which is great. But you've also seen great success as well, haven't you? So I think I'm right in saying you've been awarded 2 Grammys and somewhere in the 20-something Dove Awards. Is that right?
Yeah, we're at 27 Dove Awards. And the song that you just played with Dylan Scott, Good Morning Mercy, the featuring Dylan, that song won a Dove Award this little bit ago. And so we were very thankful for that. At 27 altogether through the family and my solo career, and then been nominated for 7 Grammys and won 2 of them. So God's been good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a phenomenal career to have, and it's going great guns. It hasn't stopped yet. So you've changed your record label, didn't you? You're now over at Red Street, which is where Jay DeMarcus, who is Rascal Flatts, known for that, he's the head of it. Why did you change, and what are the things you're gaining from being at Red Street?
Well, Red Street is it's really a kind of a neat opportunity. Jay and I have been friends for a while. We won a Grammy with him producing that record. He was the producer, but I was at a different record label. They were still the Flats running out on the road at that time. Rascal Flatts. And so then he came off the road and started a record label. He and I had been friends for a long while, and I wanted to be right in the groundbreaking part of that because I knew that it, you know, Jay comes from a great history of how to really go after artists' careers. You know, they had an incredible career. I mean, why wouldn't I want to be with someone that has, you know, that knows what it's like to have these kinds of things done for them as an artist? And he is one that is an artist, so he understands how an artist, you know, thinks or what they're going through or how they feel. And plus, he's a great friend. I absolutely love the way he listens to music and hears it and produces it. So I love being there. All of the record labels that I have been at, I cherish those moments. I cherish those labels. There's no hardships with these labels at all. I'm so thankful to have been a part of numerous ones. Some, there, you know, there might have been one that didn't go so well, but I learned from it. I learned from that experience. So I can't say I would change a thing, but I'm glad to be at Red Street. I know this is where God has me. at this moment. So it's a joy to be with Jay. Things are happening. Good Morning Mercy. That song took off. It's probably the biggest song that I've recorded. And I'm every day I get people going, this is what I wake up to. This is what my kids want to listen to going to school. This is what I do. You know, we were talking about the polar plunge, you know, these people are doing the ice bath things, you know, they say, I know the song is just right at 3 minutes. So when you start singing, I go in the ice, and when it's over with, I come up and I know, he said, that's how I'll start my day with you. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So it just keeps growing. So I'm so thankful for that song.
Yeah, and it really has gone huge. And looking just at your Spotify figures, it's at, what, nearly 6 million streams. That's on one platform alone. And if you were to add them all together, it's just had a huge, huge audience. And I should say, I really love it. I really love the twangs in there, and the lyrics are just superb. So the instrumentation's great. Hey, talking about Jay, though, you said Jay knows about what makes an artist tick and knows how to build things up. You probably know, but when I was chatting with him before, he did mention that he was the Flats were the first people to take that Taylor Swift was their opener.
Yeah.
Did you know that? So, and her career's gone quite well. Listen, so I'm going to put that down to Jay.
Well, of course, Jay will take credit for that for sure. There was so many people that did their first tour with the Rascal Flatts. They were the ones that really kicked off a lot of artists during the day, because they were the hot ticket. They were the hot items. They knew how to make it happen. They had great songs. They had great producers. They just had a lot of good things going their way. So that's what I'm saying. I'd love to draw from that, you know? So it's good to be at Red Street.
It's a good thing. So of the artists that you've shared a stage with, who's been your favorite? What's been some of your favorite moments?
Oh my goodness. That's hard. That's hard to say. I've shared the stage with a wide variety of people from, you know, Casting Crowns to We the Kingdom. I love We the Kingdom. I love them so very much. Zach Williams, Tomlin, I've been with them. For King and Country, Torrin Wells, but also George Jones. I've shared the stage with so many country artists, from Keith Urban it's just a way across the board. Dylan Scott, which he sang on the record with me. Trace Adkins is one of my dear friends, is a great friend, but also a Donnie McClurkin, CeCe Winans. You know, I love gospel music. Tasha Cobb, all of those people. But probably one of my very favorite memories was with Andre Crouch. And the one that wrote, you know, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. Those kinds of songs. Jesus Is the Answer for the World Today. He was a trendsetter for all of Christian music. So I'm very thankful to have done that, to been on stage with him. It was awesome. It was an awesome experience. The Clark sisters, we love them so very much. It was a joy to be with them. So I can say Brad Paisley, the day that George Jones passed away, Brad Paisley came in at the Opry. I was playing the Grand Ole Opry that night. And he came in to do a few numbers at the end of the show, because him and George were such good friends. And so he came up and he played a few of his songs at the end. I've got a picture of me and him where they're shooting at us and we're looking out at the Grand Ole Opry stage, but we're talking about George Jones's life, and it's backstage at the Opry. It's a picture I'll never forget. I just wouldn't take anything for it. It's a very special moment. And then, of course, the Goodmans. you know, Bill Gaither. It's wonderful, wonderful moments that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. So for the last few years of my life, the last 30 years of my life, I have had the opportunity and the privilege to just about perform with anybody that I've ever dreamed about meeting. And it's been fun.
That's amazing. That is genuine. And what a list. What a list of people to have performed with and been alongside. Did I imagine it? Or did you get to play with Billy Graham?
I did. The very last crusade he did in New York, I got to be a part of a 500-plus choir. Now, I was doing the lead vocal, but there was 110,000 people there, and we did a song called I'm Amazed with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I did that with them. And I'll never forget Sister Carol Cimbala, the music minister, which is actually the husband, the wife of the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. She called me and she said, "We have this opportunity. I wonder if you would want to do it. I don't know if you're busy or not, but we would, if you can do it, we would love for you to come and do it." I said, "Well, what is it first?" And she goes, "Billy Graham's doing his last crusade here in New York, and they want us to do it. And we thought about doing I'm Amazed. Do you want to come in and do the lead vocal?" I said, "Well, let me think about it. Yes, I do want to come in and do it." And it was an incredible moment sitting up on that stage after we had sang that. I'll never forget Mercy Me was there that night, at that day as well. Bart sang along with Michael W. Smith, which I absolutely love them so very much. But when Billy Graham came up on the stage, it was like the modern day Moses had reached the pulpit. And I'm like, man, this is something that I would read about in God's word. You know, I feel like that would have happened if the Bible was being recorded today. So it was a really cool moment. And I remember what he preached. He said, "We would know the signs of the times as compared to the days of Noah." And I'll never forget that message.
Wow. Now, I guess some of our listeners, they might be new to Christianity, just tuning in for the first time, and they maybe not don't know who Billy Graham is. In a nutshell, who was Billy Graham?
The world's evangelist. He was the biggest evangelist for Jesus Christ in the world. And he was called upon by kings, princes, presidents, dignitaries from all over the world to pray for them, to help in spiritual advice. There is nobody like Billy Graham. And I don't know if there ever will be another evangelist like Dr. Billy Graham. Still to this day, his messages are reaching around the world. Not only was he a minister of the gospel, but he also was a what I would call a Titus of the time. And the reason I say that was because Titus was a huge humanitarian. He was, of course, a character of the Bible, but he not only told you about Jesus, he was the hands and feet of him, because if there was a widow in town that needed something, he went and saw to it. And so they still have a Titus Festival in the Isle of Crete, still to this day, over 2,000 years. And that's how big of a humanitarian effort that he did for people. And so that's Billy Graham. Like when there was, if there's something that's going on, there's a war or whatever, a natural disaster or anything that's going on, you'll see a piece of his ministry be there, and still right now. So it's just, it's pretty amazing how huge his ministry has reached. So Billy Graham, the evangelist for the world, that's all I, period.
Yeah, that's a good description, absolutely. And I've got to say, actually, I got to be part of a Billy Graham crusade when he came to London. I know you were leading the choir of 500 people, but my role was probably not so significant because I was just a teenager. But I remember sitting there with my friends who'd gone along from church, and we got to listen to him telling us the good news of why God is so relevant to our lives today. It was great. So, but what a joy that you got to be there and do that, especially for the last crusade as well. That's amazing. So we've got another song to play from you. It's called God Can Use a Broken Man. Now, I've listened to this a lot as I've been preparing for it, and this is a great, great song with some really, really important lyrics, and I know they're going to speak to some people today. Could you tell us all about this track?
There is a huge story behind this song. This is written by Zach Williams, Ed Cash, and Jonathan Smith. Back a few years ago, I would say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I think four, I was with Zach Williams at a festival. We were playing in North Carolina. We were backstage, and I said, Zach, I have really switched gears hard, and I'm going, you know, I'm doing CCM music. I'm playing these festivals. I'm recording this. I said, but man, I love your writing, and I would love to have a song that you have penned out, because I feel like your songs just really hit my heart, and I feel like it's me, kind of. And he said, well, there's a song that I didn't record on this last album. He said, but I think I'm going to record it on the next one, so I'm going to hold it. I said, that's fine. If you find anything else, please send it my way. I waited 2 years and didn't hear anything, and so he recorded another record, and I thought, well, he recorded that song. 2 more years went by, so now it's 4 years later, and my record label calls his publishers and says, hey, if you've got any songs that, you know, that he might let go of. And they said, there's a song that he's promised to cut on 2 records for the last 2 records. And this is crazy, because it's 4 years later and 2 different people. He said, but I'm going to see if he would release it. So, and he goes, you know what? He said, I've held it long enough. Give it to Jason. And so I'll never forget this. When I heard it the first time, I was like, man, I can't believe it took me 4 years to get this song. And I can't believe they didn't record it, because it's phenomenal. It is an incredible song. But I also understand it, that I feel like this is probably one of the most important songs I've ever recorded. We have all been broken. Every one of us have been flat on our back. Some from wounds of self-infliction, and some from being just let down by other people or hurt by other people. Whichever way, we've still been flat on our back, and it causes us to make decisions, you know, that we normally wouldn't. Every one of us has been broken in life. Man, you know, woman, it doesn't matter. We've all been broken. But there's only one that can pick up the broken pieces and make it more beautiful than it was before it was broken. And that's the message of this song. That's Jesus Christ. And he can do that, but we have to allow him to. Now, the thing that I really speak to people about this song is God will use you after those moments. The scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, that we overcome by the shed blood of Jesus. Jesus died for us. He gave his life for us. And the word of our testimony. So what's that mean? It means that we give others hope. When we share what Jesus has done for us, he'll do the same for them. And that's what this song, in my opinion, is all about.
And that was God Can Use a Broken Man by the wonderful Jason Crabb, who is still with us today for the Artist Interview. Thanks, Jason, for all you've shared so far. What a great song. What you're totally right in what you're saying about people's testimonies actually enable people to walk into the goodness of God. And that song, just the way it talks about the fact that God still wants to use a broken man, a broken woman, whoever it is, whatever the situation, God is still calling them and wanting to enable and meet with them. If you would be happy right now to pray for listeners, that would be great.
I would love to. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now to speak to us. I wish I had the elegant words to pray for everyone to just drop everything and give everything over to you. I wish I had that. But the only thing that I can pray is I know what I have done. I have asked you to forgive me and to set me free, and I have given you my stuff, and I know what you've done for me. And I pray right now that if there is someone that is out there right now that is trying to find the meaning of life, that they will turn it over to you and go search after you, Lord Jesus, because you never turn one away. I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, I'm just grateful for each and every person that is watching, that is listening. I pray that you will make their day brighter than ever before. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and praise. You are everything good. And we just love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. What a great prayer. So going back to your family, a moment ago you mentioned to me while we were in the break, you mentioned that you're going to pick up your daughter in a moment. So what does family life look like for you? Who's in your family?
Wow. I have the most gorgeous wife on the planet. Of 26 years, she is the best. She's awesome. She is everything. She's so understanding. She's so intentional about everything. She has sacrificed a lot through the years of me being gone. But it's been good sacrifice because she's been at home, tending to the needs of my daughters, as they go to school, as they are getting their education. She has really, you know, been an incredible mother and an incredible wife. Her name is Shelly. I mean, think about that. Of all the names of the women that are out there, God chose for me a young lady by the name of Shelly, and I was going to change her last name to Crab. Shelly Crab, Shell Crab. Anyway,
that's very good.
Yeah, I know, right? So we have two girls. One is 21. She travels on the road with me. Her name is Ashley, and she is phenomenal. She went to Lee University. She was had a scholarship to sing with the Voices of Lee, and did fantastic there. But I told her, I said, "Why don't you just come back home with me and go on the road with me and, hey, make a little money doing the same thing you're doing right now." So she did that. And then my youngest is a senior, and she's getting ready to go to a little university called Lindsey Wilson on a basketball scholarship. So she's going to go play basketball at Lindsey Wilson. So we're very excited about that. We love basketball at our house. I mean, I'm telling you, right now is the time of the year for our home. It's March Madness. All of the universities are playing their tournaments. It's huge right now, men's and women's. So it's a lot of fun.
I think I just saw Tennessee losing by one point in the last second. That was a crazy, crazy moment. So yeah, I don't follow basketball normally, but I just saw that today. So yeah, great, great sport. Not very big in the UK. Have you heard of a football team called Wrexham?
A what?
A football team, a soccer team called Wrexham.
Oh, a soccer team by the name of Wrexham. I have heard of them. They're pretty good, aren't they?
Well, they're getting better. So they got bought by a couple of Americans, you know how it is, and the famous ones, and they made this Disney documentary. But don't worry about it. That's okay. At some point, if you get Disney, you can look up Wrexham. It's turned their world upside down. So which is good.
That's wonderful. So, we just didn't have a lot of football, there was a different kind of football. We just didn't have soccer in Beaver Dam, Kentucky, in a little country town. They did was basketball. They had some football and baseball, of course, but they didn't have soccer. But soccer is getting huge. Nashville just
Your stadium there is big. Yeah. So
yes, and so it's really coming alive here in Nashville. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, so if anyone asks you, though, what soccer team you support, the answer's Bournemouth, okay? Bournemouth AFC. That's what you've got to say.
Bournemouth?
Bournemouth AFC.
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, that's what you've got to say.
AFC.
Yeah.
I got it.
Great,
now.
Okay, good. Phew, I'm training you well. Okay, so I tell you what Beaver Dam also has. It doesn't have soccer, but it's got baseball and it's got other things, including a street named Jason Crab Drive. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, there is soccer fields that is longer than the street that's named after me. But, you know, I'm so thankful my hometown honored me with something like that. It was very, very kind. And so it's right at the place where they have concerts. So anytime any of my peers go there, they go, "We're parked on your street." You know, they'll send me a text and send me a, so it's really cute, and I'm thankful for it.
I think, and I've interviewed a lot of people, I think you're the only one that has a street named after them that I'm aware of. That's a pretty cool thing. So let's look at the next sort of 12 months or so. What's God planning for you, and how do you fit into those plans?
Man, I'm trying to figure that out. You know, the Bible that I try to get my direction from told me, "In all thy ways acknowledge him," being God, "and he would direct my path." I'm really trying to lean on that right now because I've had so much change happen. My manager, after 17 years, retired this year. And there was not a contract. There was not a date. There was not a deposit that went into an account that didn't go through their hands. And so there's a lot that I had to bring on. There's new management that's coming on. We're just working out the deal plan and the deal memos and all those kinds of things. So there's a lot going on. On the flip side of it, there's a lot going on in the music, writing, creating, and then also the ministry. This week out in California, I would have to say that the ministry part of the music was huge this week. People coming to know Jesus for the first time and giving their heart to the Lord at these concerts. It was beautiful. And it's making me changed the way, because I did those kind of with just me and acoustic guitar and a few tracks. Usually I carry a band with me everywhere and lights and smoke and all of that. Sometimes that can get so much in the way of really what I'm called to do. I'm called to be a minister first of music. So my lyrics are about Jesus. I'm called to be a minister, not called to be an artist or just to do music. If that was the case, there's more money in secular music, I guess. But
I would guess so.
I'm called to do music of faith, and that's what people are drawing strength from. And so I've heard so many people's testimonies this week of a young lady that she was homeless and sleeping under blackberry bushes. She made her home out of sleeping underneath blackberry bushes to coming to church and giving her heart to the Lord. And she told me her testimony, and man, I was just challenged me. It just gave me strength. And she said, your music has really helped me along this journey. And I'm like, just amazing.
So beautiful.
Yeah, got it, just wonderful thing. So I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the new music. I'm excited about the new management. I just want to make sure that I fall in line with what God has called me to do, and that's to be a minister, not just a musician.
Wow. And it's a really important high calling. You definitely have a big platform to be able to minister from, so which is great. I'm so glad that those opportunities have opened up and your heart in it just sounds fantastic. Love it. So you mentioned the Bible just there. So what's your favorite Bible story and why?
Ooh, man, that's pretty hard to nail it all down. But, you know, there's a lot of things that there's one in particular right now that I absolutely love, and that's the story of Esther. I love, you know, how that he just took a common, see, that's the great thing about the Bible. People that would have counted themselves out become such a victory story. I mean, it's amazing. And here Esther, she lived with her uncle. Her parents were gone because of war, less likely to succeed. And then all of a sudden the king's looking for a new bride, and, you know, she shouldn't be the one, but man, God had a little favor on her. And the next thing you know, Esther is the one that saves her whole lineage, her whole community. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. I love Esther. I love so many. I love the woman at the well. I love, you know, I love the beginning stories in Genesis. I love all of those things. The Bible is so interesting. It is so amazing. If you'll take the time and just don't just skim over it, just read and dig. If you dig, ooh, get ready. It's an absolute, it just keeps opening up. It's awesome.
And the Bible's made up from lots of different books within it, written across a span of history. For someone maybe who's not read the Bible before, maybe they've got a dusty copy on their shelf, or they could go and get one from a bookshop, yeah, or Amazon or something. What book within the Bible, for someone who's not read it before, would you recommend as maybe the first book to go and read?
You know, I think the first book, a neat story, is Esther. I think it's a great story to read. I think Matthew is a great one. John happens to be one of my very favorites to read because I love the way John spells things out. Luke comes from he was a physician, so he comes from a different perspective of things. It's very analytical, you know, how he writes one of the four gospels. So that's during the time of Jesus and what he was doing and how he was doing things and why he did the things that he did. And so it's really, really neat to read those things. Proverbs, if you want to learn, you know, the trusting and what it means to trust Christ and what it means to kind of really kind of surrender some things. And there's some great little nuggets, wisdom nuggets, you know, that in Proverbs that you can grasp a hold of and go, wow. If you want to know about worship, about the worshiping Jesus, then you grasp a hold of Psalms and look at Psalms and read what David wrote and some of the other psalmists that wrote. So there's a lot. If you want to know about end times, then you can read Daniel, you know, and you think, oh, what's that? Well, just read a little bit of Daniel and his story. And also Revelations is, boy, it's deep. But the Bible talks about it just being even a blessing upon your life to read the book of Revelations, that you'll have a blessing over your life if you just even read the book. So that's kind of cool. There's a lot there. It's an awesome book. It's an awesome book. collection of books.
Yeah, and you know what's good? I asked you to recommend one, and you recommended a whole smorgasbord of books there because they're all so good. Sorry. You don't need to apologize.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're totally right. It's hard to pick one, and you've certainly picked a great range and explain why as well. So that's good. Now, I know you've got to rush to pick up your daughter in a moment, but we have got time for one more song from you. The song's called Do It For You. Can you tell me all about that track?
Well, the neat thing about this track is I was there the day that it was written. We were having a writer's camp. The minute that I heard this song, I said, I have to record that song, and it has to be sent to radio. Now, I wish I could say that it really did great on radio, because I think it's a very important song. But for some reason, I don't know if the timing was off. I don't know if there was too many songs like this out there at the time. You know, some of those things happen. Doesn't mean anything about the song. It just means that the timing maybe wasn't right. What I love about this song is it gives what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be lights to a world that needs love and maybe just a big hug. I mean, that's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, can you imagine if the world would just be one great big old hug, and boy, we could fix a lot of things. I mean, you know, every day you had to hug 10 people. So, I mean, could you imagine that?
I'm a huge hugger. I would absolutely
me
do
too.
That.
I just think that there's so much warmth in it. There's so much emotion in it. I think that it lets people know that you actually care. There's something about it that, you know, that is great. So, I think that that's very important. But here's the thing. It's a testament of saying, if God did that, this certain thing, if he answered this certain prayer for me, if he gave this to me, if he's no respecter of persons, God is not that. He doesn't do something for one person that he wouldn't do for everyone. And that's what this song is all about. That's why I wanted to record it. It gives people hope. And so, there we go. If you need freedom, a holy rescue, he did it for me. Yeah, he can do it for you. If he did it for me, yeah, he can do it for you. He's gonna make a highway through your sea. The mountain will.
And that was Do It For You by the wonderful Jason Crabb. You've been listening to the Artist Interview Podcast, a podcast from Hope FM. An absolute massive thank you to Jason for spending time with us today. Really enjoyed listening to his music and his story. What a faithful guy. I love that. I really just love the Bible that he couldn't stop but telling us all the different things he liked there. So anyway, there are many more deep dive, faith-filled conversations with other people from the world of contemporary Christian music and worship. Just head over to our brand new website. That's at theartistinterviewpodcast.com. And that's where you'll find all the links to all the major podcast platforms. And if you like what you hear, why not give us a like, a rating, subscribe, maybe share it with a friend, and perhaps even leave us a review. And if you really, really like what you hear, you can even find out ways to help support the podcast as well. And that is at theartistinterviewpodcast.com. I'm your host, Gordon T, and I look forward to being with you on the next episode. God bless you.
Listen, subscribe, and support at theartistinterviewpodcast.com.